Those on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Feel a little bowling.
Yeah.
Bowling.
Well, this kind of sets the tone, right?
Mm-hmm. There's a new sheriff in town.
Damn it, I'm not packing.
That's what I'm packing.
Good evening.
I got your back. Don't worry.
Don't you worry about it.
It's March 8th, 2023.
Yeah, did you see the walk over here? Man, the clouds, they're dropping.
Yeah.
The mountains. Something's coming.
The rain's coming.
Again.
For like 5 or 7 days straight, I think.
Yeah.
Goodness.
Amazing.
Big storm.
And we've had...
this is a real Reading winter. These are the winters I remember as a kid.
It's 12 days, actually.
It's 12 days of rain.
12 days of rain.
Wow.
And we've had, I don't know, how many days or weeks of snow?
More than normal.
A lot, right? Mm-hmm. Have you been paying attention to all these poor people?
We have a true history gauge right here. He could tell stories.
Tell us the real stuff.
Let's introduce everybody because we have a full house here. Yeah. This is great. Nigel, James. We have our regular celebrity, Jason from Reading Buzz, mm-hmm. and Garrett.
I'm more like the sidekick.
You're getting there.
He's a good sidekick.
You're Robin. You're like Robin. Batman.
And then we have this young man. We have this young man with us. Looks like he's in his 20s.
Oh, okay. Yeah, like I'm staying. Mm.
if you're local, you're going to want to hang around for this, I think. Mm-hmm. Don Conley, owner of Jack's Grill.
And, you know, when you're sitting here and I'm looking at you and we're listening to stories and stuff, if I just squint just right, I feel like it's Brat Pack Vegas-y. Like you have this thing about you, right?
That's it.
I know. There is.
Yeah, there is a feeling about it.
Like a real coolness.
Yeah, like the real Mafia Don.
When somebody comes to town and they say, okay, some of the classic places in Reading, everybody mentions Jack's Grill, right?
Mm-hmm. We are the oldest restaurant in Chester County that's in the original location.
Well, there's one check. You've got that one. I'm sure there's a million,
well,
but that's one.
Limbs opened 3 years before Jack's did, but they were downtown.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually, if you count the dam, this is Danburger's fourth location.
Hmm. Really?
Bud and Babe used to go out to the dam as the guys would come off shifts and sell hamburgers.
Hmm.
Hence the Danburger.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow.
That's what I said, the historian. It's okay. Like we could listen for hours.
Yeah, it's going
to be. This is going to be great. So let's get to the basics.
Yeah.
So how long has Jack's Grill been there?
The building was built in 1935.
Yeah.
If you remember, Morrison's Warehouses were around town.
Mm-hmm.
His dad actually built the building. In fact, Bill, that had the stores, was born in the Reading Hotel in 1935.
Jeez.
And they had a midwife.
You do realize that this generation doesn't even know that time goes back that far.
I know. Right? But they called the volunteer fire department. They came and took her down to the hospital down on Pine Street. The rooms weren't real warm, so the Chinese cook wrapped Bill in a towel and laid him on the oven door till they came back and got him.
Oh, my goodness.
So in 1930, and they lived upstairs at Jack's at the time.
Hmm.
And then they moved out, and then they leased the building to Jack Young,
mm-hmm.
Who put in the bar and the restaurant. The kitchen that we have today was not there then.
Hmm.
That wasn't added till the early 50s. The stove grill sat right in the back as you were going to the bathroom, right mm-hmm. there in the backside.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's one of my things when I go to the, if you're at Jackson, you use the mm-hmm. restroom, it's kind of like you instantly become part of the kitchen staff.
Yeah.
Well, so that you put you to work.
Okay. I'll look over and say, hey, you might want to turn that.
Well.
So, Don, you moved here when?
I came up here with Doc Cleary on February 6th of 1971. I was 23.
Wow, 1971.
Mm.
From?
Well, I was originally raised in Kansas, went to Kansas State, got a scholarship, realized the first couple of years I was just a blocking dummy, finished school, and through a weird series of circumstances, I was going to Canada because I'd never been there, and I'd worked for a church project in west side of Chicago back in 65 after high school. And I was driving through, and I got up to Waukegan, and I spent the night and got up and was having breakfast reading the newspaper. And this beer company named Meisterbrau, which I'd never heard of.
I know that.
Yeah. They bought it. They bought a hitch of Westphalian stallions from Löwenbräu at the World's Fair.
Wow.
And so I ended up going to work as their PR guy. Mm-hmm. And we only covered four states. More interesting because we only drove six, but they were all stallions, so they had great big muzzles on their face.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the horse people meet Hearst, and I got offered a job with AB. And so I did the Clydesdales.
Mm.
And I hate to admit this, it's been so long that we only had one hitch that went coast to coast.
Oh.
Well, Meisterbrau in 1967, I think it was, came out with a light beer.
Mm-hmm.
And they bought Burgermeister out here, and Caleb called me in. I love the Anheuser-Busch, but, I mean, I wake up sober in a hotel room, look at a phone book, see where I was, because I'm back and forth. And we put the horses up in Calistoga to give the guys vacations and stuff. And this would have been in 69. And the stables right there by the old racetrack. And it was raining. We're playing cribbage. This old man come walking through the rain. So I got up and gave him the nickel tour. And I had a cigar in my pocket. He said, and he was smoking a cigar. He said, so you like cigars? I said, yeah, I like a good cigar every now and then. He said, I'll tell you what, when you get off work, come down to the Surfwood and I'll buy you a drink. If you're buying, I'm off. Well, he was coming down for the spas, and we got be friendly. Well, when Miller's bought out Meisterbrau to get the light beer, that's why theirs says L-I-T-E.
Mm.
Everybody else was L-I-G-H-T because the L-I-T was the original trademark.
Mm.
And they sold the horses to a dairy in Vermont who offered me a wonderful job. But I've been in the Vermont in the winter once.
Don't do it again.
No. And Doc kept saying, you're going to love Reading and you're going to love the restaurant business. Honestly, I never dreamed I'd be here 6 months.
Mm. Did you even know where Reading was?
The only reason I knew where it was because Doc told me, but I actually a Burgermeister had scheduled me to come up here after the first year to work the deal with the Reading Rodeo, to mm-hmm. bring the horses and do the beer stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd never been here until I drove up.
So 1971, I have a sneaky feeling that Reading looked a little different.
You might say that. Enterprise was not even part of Reading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And cool. Bella Vista and Palisadro mm-hmm. were like 100 miles away. Mm-hmm. Like it was going to be a job to go to town to get groceries
yep.
or something.
My thing is,
because I can remember riding in my dad's Land Cruiser as a little guy and thinking, good Lord, this takes forever to get to town.
Yeah. I'm like, well, my thing was the mall even there or was the mall gone?
Downtown?
No, the mall, the Shasta.
Oh, no, that wasn't there.
Oh, really?
No.
My Lord.
Nope.
That's where the sheep were.
Are you serious?
That was mostly the Hempstead Ranch back in the day.
The Hempstead, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
And doing my research on history, interviewing a lot of older people, old Reading didn't want to talk about California Street.
Mm.
It was either referred to as the west side of town or the other street. But old Reading and June Stanley, who was Bill Moore's daughter, the old man,
mm-hmm.
I bought the restaurant, the building and the restaurant from her. And it was about 81 or 82. She lived up on Shasta Street, and she called me up. She goes, I'm so upset. I am just so upset. Well, June, I'll be right up. And she was, what's wrong? She goes, my hairdresser moved out of town. Well, I'm sorry. Where'd she move to? Bocelli Lane. Because old Reading, if you crossed the river, you were out of town.
Really?
And a lot of people, I'm probably, but I mean, yeah, that was just a thing.
Wow.
She was a bedroom community.
Moved out of town to yeah. Bocelli Lane.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. So when did you take over? How did you end up at Jack's Grill?
Well, Doc Cleary
yep.
and Sil Bowie had Ramona's. He was my other big mentor. Born in Kennett.
Oh, there's Kennett.
Yep.
Yeah.
Bahamas were born in Kennett.
So for those who don't know, Kennett is at the bottom of...
Yeah.
For
those who don't know, this is a fascinating
400
story.
Feet yeah. under water.
Under Lake Shasta.
Yeah. Lake Shasta. Right?
Yeah. Under Lake Shasta. It's kind of a trip, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Under Lake Shasta is the old town of Kennett. And you're saying you were there?
No.
No. No.
That was 71.
71, it was gone.
Yeah. Okay.
But it also...
It was done before I was born.
Okay, just checking.
And it was also part of the copper mining, right? So it had the big...
Well, copper was on the north side.
Okay.
Iron Mountain up on the...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And most of the west side, French Gulch out area, was gold.
Yes.
But it was in quartz.
Mm-hmm.
They had to crush it to almost like salt and then sift it out.
Yeah, so they had
I always think it would be interesting if there was some kind of submarine tour down.
Oh, that'd be so cool.
At the bottom of.
I'm trying to remember what it was called. It was the smelting company that was there. It was called Mammoth.
Oh,
Mammoth.
There were several of them.
There were.
Coram Ranch
mm-hmm.
had a big smelter.
Yep.
Across the mm-hmm. bridge. In fact, and they brought the ore from the Trinity side
mm-hmm.
in the weight buckets where the empties go up and they'd come down. They started shutting those down in late 18, early 1900 because they were killing everything.
Mm.
If you stood in the middle of where the lake is right now
mm-hmm.
and you looked all around,
mm-hmm.
if you saw anything green, it was painted. So that acid started coming down the west side.
Oh, yeah.
And that was mostly Orchard and on down to Happy mm-hmm. Valley. And that's when they really started shutting them down.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay, well, let's take our first two-minute break because this is going quickly. No. We'll be right back.
You wrote a stranger one fine day. Hardly spoke to folks around him, didn't have too much to say. No one dared to ask his business, no one dared to make a slip. The stranger there among them had a big iron on his hip. Big iron on his hip.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Good song. And we're back. We're getting into it with Don Connolly, the owner of Jack's Grill. We'll get to the food in a moment.
Okay, let me correct one thing here. Mm-hmm. I took it over in 77.
Yep.
And I still have my office there. And Mike, Big Mike, was with me 40 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I kind of figured 42 years was enough.
Mm.
So I hired Rich Paulson from Lulu's, who grew up in the business, and I've known him since he was a kid. So he took it over like I did, as general manager with a purchase option.
Okay.
So Richie actually owns it now.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But he would just as soon I not tell anybody.
He said,
yeah.
Well, we're getting down to details here. This
he even makes me keep carry my old business cards.
Lulu's had a boo-boo today.
Somebody drove through it. Put a drive-through in.
Yeah.
Well, I was always wondering, that Lulu's on the corner there.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that always...
Pulled in and just didn't quite stop.
Waiting for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with the weather we've been having.
Yeah.
So how did you get into the restaurant business?
Well, I'm with Doc Cleary. I came up, and he and Sil Bowie always called me Junior. And so consequently, I had to learn the books. Now, Tommy's and Bocelli back then had just opened up.
Out of town?
Yeah. For the wrong people. But it was a bar, 21 and over, but it was Cook Your Own Steak and Lobster. Those were kind of a big thing back in the early 70s. Mm. And he owed Doc some favors. The payoff was teaching me to tend bar.
Mm-hmm.
So I started there, and then I grew up in the office at Doc's, and I had to learn to cook. And the reason was his chef, Doc couldn't cook, and his chef would always ask for a raise on a 7:30 on Friday night.
Mm.
He said, Junior, I want you to get good enough. You don't have to be great, just so you can tell him to go by and finish the shift. So, and you got to remember, Reading was a little smaller community back then.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, you knew pretty much everybody. And I was always wanting to learn. And so if somebody didn't make a shift, and I never worked a shift in a bar or restaurant, I didn't learn something
mm-hmm.
from the other restaurants. Yeah. But that was just part of Reading.
Yeah.
When I came up here with Doc, or the first time, I drove up in January and stayed at the house, met him for dinner, and he said, well, tomorrow morning we're going to pick you up. My best friend and I are going to pick you up and give you a tour of Reading.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
How long did that take?
Several hours.
Because
it was Sil Bowie was his, from Ramona was his buddy. And I did. I saw every bar in town. In fact, the shack where the bar was on this side, kind of like it is now. Well, that's where we always went in. And I knew they had food. For 3 months, I didn't know there was a coffee shop on the other side. That's the only door I knew about.
When did Squire Room come around?
Squire Room was here when I got here.
It was?
Yeah, I'd have to look up. I don't know exactly when they opened.
Mm.
I know it was in the early 60s.
Okay, yeah.
But I'm not exactly sure when.
So people always, you know, rave about Jack's Grill, right?
Most of them.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Sorry.
What would you say the secret is, or secrets are, or is it a traditional thing? Is it a fresh food thing? Or is it atmosphere? Or a bit of everything? What is it about Jack's Grill?
One of the first things I learned from Doc and Sil was, if it works, don't fix it.
Yeah. Right.
And consequently, I've seen a lot of things. You know, we have a very simple menu. When I took it over in 77, I put a floodlight out the back door because it was just a 100-watt bulb.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of dark for the employees to be leaving. And the second thing I did was...
a floodlight. That's it. That's all that's been changed in 100 years.
So, same light bulb. But
I know.
The second thing I did is I started making Thousand Island dressing
because
they didn't have Thousand Island. If somebody would order Thousand Island, we don't have... Well, give me the blue cheese. I could make a lot of blue cheese for what Thousand Island... I mean, just...
Mm-hmm.
And the third one, the next one I did was a brochette of beef, because we trim and cut our own meat even to this day.
That's my son's favorite.
And so that brochette is left, you know, is cutting. Mm-hmm. And what do we cut the most of? Filet. So a filet, topper, New York.
Yep.
Then the big one was, because you got to remember, people were very protective of Jack's.
Sure.
And this was Doc's boy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's he going to do to this place?
Mm.
If I change a light bulb, somebody would mention it.
Yep.
Well, the front door had a mirror, big plain glass in the middle, and just a sheet or a rolling gun just down.
Mm-hmm.
So people would leave, and they just push against it. That was single pane glass.
Mm.
And I'm thinking, then I got to looking. The braces on the doors had braces. So I took it out and put it in a solid door. Oh, I heard about that for a long time. That they didn't want anything to change.
Now I know.
And one of the reasons I picked Richie is the fact is that Richie understands that. He grew up in the business.
Mm-hmm.
Uncle Joe had the hotel in French Gulch.
Mm-hmm.
His dad had Paulson's Prime Rib. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he's been in it all of his life.
Sure. I have incredible memories. I mean, my whole life of going to Jack's. And it's so weird how today's world now, you don't even think about how things have transitioned and changed, mm-hmm. right? Like, I remember... Every time we went to Jack's back in the 70s, my parents would take us there, right? And I remember the door would open, and you'd walk in, and literally from the ceiling to probably about 4 feet off the ground was just a thick layer of smoke.
Absolutely.
And those red lights. So you'd close the door and the sun would be blocked. And then you'd be in. It was like a whole other world. Yeah. The smoke would hang over these red lights, right? But I mean, literally, it was people smoking.
And that was everywhere.
Everywhere.
That
was, yeah.
In fact, then, one of my friends, he was, I think, 10 or 11, first time he went. He said that he loved it because he was about that far below the smoke
level.
Yeah,
there was a layer.
Wow. There was a layer.
There was totally a visible layer. It was like you could cut it.
When I took it over in 77, sitting on the stairs in the back kitchen, I couldn't see the front door.
No.
Wow.
It was thick.
Wow.
That's just the way it was back then.
And then the waitresses had been there literally since the beginning of time.
I'll tell you how long. Somebody asked me a few years ago, what is the most interesting statistic about Jack's? You know, I'm thinking, I really thought about a lot of it.
Mm.
When I took the grill over in April of 77, I was 29. I heard Mike in November of 79.
Mm-hmm.
He was 29. I don't want to tell you how many birthdays we've had since. But he was behind the bar for literally 40 years.
Mm.
We had two waitresses a night.
Mm-hmm.
In 40 years, he worked with seven waitresses. Three of them are still working.
Yeah. No, wow. I know. Well, I mean, that's part of the... That's part of it. I mean, right? And I've just always thought, when I was a kid, I thought, these people are going to all die of lung cancer working here.
Turned out they're all still alive.
They're all still alive. I know.
It's the Keith Richards of restaurants.
When I was on the state restaurant board of directors, I was chairman. We had a board meeting up here. And everybody, you know, we always want to go see people you've met in the business and see what their place is like. And of all the stories, if you ask them now, the one they liked the most was one bartender and seven waitresses in 40 years.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, it's staggering.
It's in our business. It just doesn't happen anymore.
No, I know. Yeah.
And so you have a signature menu, right? A signature items. Is that what it is?
Yeah, well, it's a simple menu. Again, if it works, don't fix it.
Yep.
Steak, and steak.
For those
except I am not a steak eater, and I thank you. I don't know if it was added or always been there, but your beer battered prawns are amazing.
Are they that good?
Oh yeah,
we sell a lot of prawns, scallops, and chicken.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow,
because it's all fresh.
It's all fresh.
They're so good, and they're big. You know, and you're like, when you bite into one of these prawns, it's not like...
It's not the little...
No. It's a mouthful.
Something like it was an anemic or something.
I know.
I give everybody a little hint here. The chicken is great, and it's a half a chicken.
Okay.
So most people eat one or two pieces and take it home.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you take it home, let it cool off, and put it in the fridge.
Mm.
The next morning, the batter is soft.
Mm.
It's got more flavor.
Mm-hmm.
I used to have the cook fix me up an order.
Take it home, yeah.
A whole order.
Yeah.
So I could have breakfast and lunch.
For real.
Day.
Yeah. Oh, and it's in a real doggy bag.
Yep. The other one's
still doggies on the bag.
The other change we made, we added what we call Jack Stack.
Because
we trimmed so much meat, we'd end up these little pieces.
Yep.
So we take the little pieces and put them on the grill just enough to brown them.
Mm-hmm.
And we throw them in a skillet over the fire.
Gravy.
With bell pepper, tomato. Red, yellow, and onions, and we saute that up with the brochette gravy, and then it's poured over some garlic bread.
And I was going to say, you said something earlier, and I said that's my son's favorite, and I made a mistake. That's what he gets. Yeah. Every time he goes, that's what he gets.
And the last, outside of prices, the last change we made was about 2.5 years ago. We added the prime rib.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's worked out real well. Yeah. Not the full.
I'm going to have to do the chicken because I never even look at a menu. I just say prawns.
This is going to be an expensive radio show. Jason, so you've been in Reading for a while. When's the first time?
No, it's 75.
Yeah.
75.
So you've been going to Jack's Grill since when?
Walking past
75?
It. Yeah, I think I've only been at once, and that was like probably when he first took it over, around 76, 77, something like that. Right. It's been that long. I remember when the Cascade Motel was over here on the corner, and now it's a car lot. That's when the last of the Woolly days, you know that. I mean, that's like crazy days back then, back in 75. Oh, yeah, crazy.
Let's take our next break. When we come back, let's get into a little more of the history of Reading and how you've seen, because you've been here a while, how Reading's changed.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, just, not even counting the research, just what I've seen through here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Wow.
Great. Not just Reading, but the people.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Oh. Yeah, that's...
Lifestyle.
But they're still hungry.
Yeah.
We'll be right back.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Right. James, you're up.
Come on, James.
On the road again.
Come on,
sing it.
Oh,
sing it.
Just can't wait to get on.
And we're back. Again. Good evening, Northern California. I'm James. We have a full house here. Jason, Garrett, Redding Buzz, Tom Connolly, owner of Jack's Grill. Do we call you owner?
Yeah,
co-owner?
Yeah. Richie would actually prefer it. So.
Okay. There you go. So we're learning all kinds of interesting stuff during the break. And there is this phenomenon, I think, of, you know, when people are from an area, they don't, some of them don't venture out. Like you just mentioned, you know, people who grew up here or are locals and they've never been to Shasta Dam.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's a weird concept when you realize that some people drive for 1,000 miles to come and look at Shasta Dam. And it's right here.
Well, that's like me going to L.A., right? Like people that I know that have, I mean, I was born there, but I moved away when I was 4 or whatever it is here to Redding. You know, I go to L.A. now and I drive all over. I'll go visit friends in Santa Monica, but then the same, you know, go back to Disneyland and then head over to the Valley and do that. And they're like, are you out of your mind? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they're like, that is so far. And I'm like, no, that's L.A.
Well, when
that's just like, you know, it's the L.A. is the whole city for me. Like, I don't blink twice. Right?
When I moved to Redding and from L.A., right, and somebody would say, well, that's in Redding, they'd say, well, I want to go to this place. They say, well, that's all on the other side of town. I'm like, that's like 12 minutes. Like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And I just found out that our dearly beloved Jason from Burning Buzz has never been to Shasta Caverns.
Never.
He's like, what are we doing?
I know.
We may have to do a little.
Yeah.
Well, and didn't you? And didn't you say you've only been to Jack's once?
Yeah, I think once. Yeah.
Oh, Lord.
I'm waiting for the invite.
Oh, right.
We'll see how well he produces first.
Okay, so Don is the owner of Jack's Grill. It's a Reading staple.
It's a monument.
Place, because, you know, we talk about food all the time.
Oh, yeah. Gotta love food.
You know, we love food, as you can tell. We're all experts
here. I tell people I've not been a restaurateur in years.
Yeah.
I've been a caretaker of a Reading tradition.
Mm.
And I can't tell you how many people have come in that moved away 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Thank God something hasn't changed.
Changed, yeah. So I have family that comes and visits that have been away for years, and the first thing they want to do is go to Jack.
Yeah.
So is Jack's one of, like, the only or one of very few institutions that haven't changed?
Oh, I think there were. I mean, we lost limbs.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that goes back a ways. Mm-hmm.
And we had a table. My dad had a table. Yeah. We went there every Friday night to get Chinese food. That's how we grew up. So, you know, it was always, we had our things. And my dad had a table at Nello's. So we just hopped from one location, from Jack's to Nello's to Lim's.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, restaurants traditionally come and go, usually because the owners retire or sell it, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But it just changes with the times. And I'll relate then, when I took the grill over in 77, that large filet was $6.95.
Oh, my goodness.
And now?
It's over 50.
Wow.
Oh, my Lord.
That's one of the things that's changed.
Yeah. I know Richie came into my office when he was going to have to break through the COVID thing and went nuts. He was going to have to break that 50 mark. And he said, sat down and said, okay, so give me some advice on this thing. I said, well, Richie, all I can tell you is I broke 10, 20, 30, 40. You're on your own. But it's just a matter of that's just the way things change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The city itself, to a lot of extent, but in the restaurants, when I travel, I don't go to the big fancy restaurants. I want to go where the people go.
Mm-hmm.
When I was working for Anheuser-Busch, all the old district superintendents back then were old bar and restaurant guys, and he told me, he said, when you go into a town, now this is before the chain restaurants, just ask two or three people where you should eat. You'll pretty well get the idea.
Mm-hmm.
And just go in, set up the bar, have a drink, and just casually ask the bartender how long people have been working here. If he says 10, 15, 20 years, you stay.
Mm-hmm.
He says 4 or 5 years, I don't care if the place is packed, run. When I came to Reading, the top restaurants were Doc's,
mm-hmm.
Ramona's,
mm-hmm.
Jack's, mm-hmm. Squire Room, Tubby and Ann's, a couple. They all had one thing in common, long-term employees.
Yeah. Well, and there's a lot of people that haven't been here for any length of time didn't even know. I mean, when I talked about it still all the time, Squire, you used to be able to get steak at Squire Room.
Oh, steak. They had great food.
Yeah. And people are like, what? No, there's no. I was like, no, it was a bar and a restaurant.
Yeah. They had two cooks. One was Fred Wolf, who had several restaurants here. The other was George.
Mm.
But if you went in for dinner, you had to ask who the cook was.
Because
George did a few things better and vice versa.
Yep.
So you always want to know who was cooking before you ordered your dinner.
Before you knew
so
it.
But it was a great place. Who's cooking at Jack's Grill?
Let's see. Since 1977, my fifth cook.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow.
When I first went there.
And how long has this cook worked there, Don?
This one?
Yes.
7, 8 years.
Okay, so we're beyond the 4 or 5 years.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. But I mean, in our business, I think the hardest thing I've always told people in our business, if you guys get into beef, you can go to your office and go to his. In the restaurant, you're face to face with your other employee, people you're working with, and there ain't no escape.
Mm-hmm.
We actually spend more time awake that we do with our own families.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes a different personality structure.
Mm-hmm.
We've been very fortunate. When I first took it over, Ted Heinzel was cooking. He had actually owned the Hilltop that he sold to Doc Cleary back in the 50s.
Mm.
But his wife got religion. She wanted no part of the alcohol.
Mm. I love that term.
He was 74. He was
74. She caught it.
He was 74. One retired, but June wouldn't let him.
Uh-huh.
So,
and this is going to be a dumb question because I don't know the answer, but I'm sure you have a number of long-time regulars.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, lots. Generations.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's so many of them. I remember one couple, they came in every Friday night, and they had four kids. But the kids never came in till their 16th birthday. And they got to go to dinner for Jack's at the first time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, it's like second generation, almost third now.
Mm-hmm.
Are there regulars that come in now that have been coming in for forever?
Oh,
besides
yeah.
James.
I was like, I've been coming since the 70s.
It always amazed me. You know, back in the days, our best advertisement back in the day were traveling salesmen.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause
they go up and down the coast. That was great. But I always thought what was amazing, it was our 60th anniversary.
Mm-hmm.
And I came with this whiz-bang idea. So I had four plexiglass boxes in different sizes, and we had a contest each quarter, guess the number of beans. We had coffee beans, jelly beans. And we gave away that. They fill out these little tags,
mm-hmm. you
know, name, phone number, where you're from. So if they won, well, it really surprised me, including John Fitzpatrick at Pepsi, because I had all the slips from him. But, you know, I thought it would phase off.
Mm-hmm.
Almost right at 75% of the customers filled those out every quarter.
Mm.
My wife still hates us spending hours on the floor putting that all together.
Counting the beans.
Yeah. But the thing was I never realized, even though I knew we had traveling salesmen and I met people from Portland, I had no clue. The amount of traffic we got from Fall River, from Weaverville, Eureka, Chico.
Mm-hmm.
So it gave us a real look at the clientele.
Yeah. Yeah, far and wide, I would imagine. All you do is take somebody there one time, and mm-hmm. part of it is the story and the history. When you tell them that, people are always like really intrigued of, you know, the history of the building, the history of just its longevity, and you know. And then there's all the stories that you hear. Everybody knows how you guys age your meat, right? It's like 400 years old. And
you want to hear what I've heard?
I know, I've heard it all too, and I'm like, that's probably why I choose the prawns. No.
I've had people say, well, you marinate it in wine. You marinate it in this.
We don't milk. I heard milk.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, I heard some of this. Probably the best line I ever heard. Gene was my second cook was working, and a guy came in and went back. They'd like to go back. And he's standing at the doors, and he said, well, I know why the meat's so good. Gene says, how's that? He goes, I don't remember now. His cousin's next door neighbor's brother-in-law
mm-hmm.
worked a big ranch down in Orland, and I raised all of my own beef.
Mm.
So R&R and I sat down and figured how much that would take to supply just Jack's.
Mm.
I mean, it's absolutely, but they get, and I will tell people right now, I love history and I love reading history in Shasta County, especially downtown California Street back in the 30s and 40s and mm-hmm. 50s. If you have pictures or stories, please contact me.
Sure.
Because I'm trying to preserve all this stuff for the Historical Society.
Awesome. Yeah.
One of the things that I find interesting, or intriguing, is the fact that you mentioned that there were three Reddings.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
That's what I called them.
Mm-hmm.
And that was?
Enterprise.
Yep.
Downtown.
Yep.
And the other side of town.
And the other, and the other side of town was?
Wow. Everything west of Court Street.
Wow.
Yeah. Not a lot of people know about the Tubby and Ann's restaurant that you...
That's right.
Yeah, that's...
Tubby and Ann's was down on the South Market.
Yeah, South Market.
I don't know what people say now. I always just say, are you uptown or downtown? So for me, it's the river, right? So if anything...
Half the people probably... I bet you ask three people, they wouldn't define it the same way.
I know. Because I'm like, anything that's west, basically, of the river, that's down in the kind of the basin, is kind of what I think of downtown. And then you have the west side, once you kind of head out, right? Mm-hmm. And then anything that's across the river... Mm-hmm. And that's in the whole new area. I just call that uptown, right? Okay. And then you do have Enterprise.
I guess it'll last one to be East Town.
I had lunch last week with Jake Mangus. We were talking about that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to comprehend. There's basically 100,000 people here.
Yeah.
That's just kind of hard to comprehend.
Yes. And everything's divided in north, south, east, west by
it
the
is.
River.
It really is. Mm-hmm.
But
it really
the river is. Runs.
You're saying that as if that's a lot.
North, south, and then it turns and goes west, east, and then it goes south. So
how many people lived here in the 70s?
I don't know.
Well, it's around 22,000.
I was going to say, I think that included Enterprise population.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't much, really.
Yeah.
Right.
I remember driving one night from Were we coming home? No, we were going into town. It was night. My dad drove a Toyota Land Cruiser, one of the really old, cool ones. And right about when we got past the college on 299, back in the 70s, the big thing was people were streakers. Mm-hmm. Do you remember? They just wear tennis shoes and run around naked, right? And a streaker ran across the freeway or highway. And, of course, I'm sure he just thought it was funny and that my dad would just drive and go on. And instead, my dad decided to chase him. So he stopped the vehicle and went back and started chasing him through the fields. And this man totally was, like, hightailing it with only tennis shoes on. And I just remember this is the strangest thing I've ever seen on the way to town.
Nowadays, people just take pictures and post it.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah.
He got more than he bargained for that
I bet
night.
He did. Yeah.
That's funny. Okay, let's take our last break, and then when we come back, we're going live. We're ready.
Yeah, we're
buzz.
Going live.
We're going live. Reading
Buzz.
Reading
Buzz. Yeah.
Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Reading sure. Buzz. Yeah. We'll go
the
live.
Graham. We'll go live. You guys are all going to be in it.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Be ready.
We'll I'm going to go change real quick.
Is there a I'm sorry. Is there a paycheck involved?
Yeah.
Paid for talent.
We'll be right back.
Faded Levi's, and each night begins a new day. If you don't understand him, he don't die young. He'll probably just ride away. Mamas, don't let your babies grow up to be cowboys.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Love is a burning thing.
Good evening, Northern California. We're live.
We're back with the Ring of Fire.
Ring of Fire.
Uh-huh.
And I think we're live in 2 places.
We are double live right now.
I feel like my atoms are being split, and I'm going into like. Because we're on YouTube too.
Oh my gosh!
So we have with us a
historic landmark.
Yeah. Don Conley.
Incarnate, body and soul.
We're just going to stick with owner of Jack's Grill. definitely an institution here in Reading.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's interesting because we have a lot of new people. Like you said, in 1970, the population was 16,000. Now it's, I don't know,
100 plus something.
And so we've had a lot of new people move in, especially over the last 3-4 years, right? Mm-hmm. And we hear it all the time. Where's a good place to go eat? Where's a good place to go eat? So we need to tell the newbies, you got to go to Jack's Grill.
Well, you know, the thing about the restaurants and new people, and my love for history, and I'll also remind you, I did this earlier, if you have pictures or stories downtown Shasta County, especially in the 30s and the 40s and the 50s. Mm. I would love to borrow them, photocopy them, and get them to the Historical Society, because they did. There's thousands of pictures of Market Street.
Mm-hmm.
Very few of California Street. They didn't talk about California Street.
Yeah.
But I can't tell you in the last, oh, I don't know, 8-10 years, I get people call me up, introduce themselves. We just came to Reading, and we were told to call you to learn some of the history.
Yeah.
So I've been able to direct them to the society and books.
Yeah.
So they really, a lot of people coming up here, they want to know these stories.
You know, it'd be, but you should do too. Also, I was really surprised at one point. I was trying to curate a story for Enjoy Magazine, and I went online, and surprisingly enough, if you go on eBay, it's amazing how many old
photos.
Postcards you can find to buy of Reading. I mean, there's hundreds of them of all the old buildings.
I've bought pictures of that. I bought matchbooks from back in that
era.
Yeah,
exactly.
It is amazing.
So you're already doing that.
Do you have any of the original Jack's Grill menus?
Yes.
Yeah.
In fact, I've got a menu from Doc's in 1953.
Wow. What was on it, and how much was it?
The highest thing on the menu, food and wine included, was $2.70.
Oh, my goodness. That won't even get you a gallon of gas now.
Not even close.
No, but it's amazing. In fact, Doc's had a very distinction back then because it was a well-known West Coast dinner house.
Yeah.
We were in Ford Times. But most of the restaurants had very... This was the world of the wine snobs.
Mm.
So they didn't carry a... Most of it was Palmasan or Almaden. Mm. Doc, when I came up here, had 101 wines on the menu.
Goodness.
Oh, my gosh.
And most of them in bottle and half bottle.
Yeah.
So we're still live on Facebook. So for those who are looking in, and some of the newbies, Jack's Grill, what are some of the signature items? If somebody hasn't been to Jack's Grill, Jack's Grill, what are the recommendations? Food recommendations.
The must-haves.
Must-eats.
Yeah.
I should get something.
That's a hard one.
Well, and there are some very good restaurants that are new.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know some of them yet because I have a 3-month rule.
Mm.
I don't go till they've been open 3 months. Let them work the kinks out.
Yeah. Now, were you asking what would you recommend?
I mean, on your menu.
Yeah.
I tell people very simply, if you want great flavor and tender, you want the filet mignon.
Okay.
If you want, my personal is New York. I think it has better flavor, but it's not as it's a great steak, but it's not as tender as a filet. And we by far outsell the filet, outsells everything.
Yeah.
Always has.
Now, I will say, and I'll tell the camera, just because it's a beef house doesn't mean you can't get others. We were told, like, I have not had the chicken, but you shared that you have an incredible chicken, and it's great the second day over. Mm-hmm. But I am not a big beef eater, but you guys have the most incredible beer-battered prawns. They're, like, as big as your
head.
And scallops, yes. but you know, a lot of times when you go to restaurants and you get that kind of stuff, they're just so wimpy, right? You're like little things, you know, like this. I mean, these suckers are like your fist. I mean,
we have all kinds. I call it division of plates.
Yeah.
The wife will get a steak. He'll get prawns.
The swatch. Yep, that's
so
what we do.
Some years ago, we put on there, you can actually order a steak and get two prawns on the side.
Oh.
Because they want it all.
I'd want 10 prawns with the filet on the side.
Where do you get your prawns?
Give me a call and I'll give you a quote.
I know, right?
where do you get your seafood from?
We buy it out of the Northwest. It's all frozen.
Yeah.
You don't get fresh seafood.
In Reading?
Well, this far inland.
Unless you've got really a way to produce it and use it.
You would never know. It's the battering that makes it so delicious.
Yeah. And we do that ourselves.
And then you get a really great your sauce for dipping.
Well, that's why, you know, you learn in Kansas, you never order sushi. Right?
Yeah.
What I learned in college is at the buffet, you go to a dinner, I don't waste my time on the salad.
Yeah.
You always go to half up the table. That's where you want to start. That's where all the good stuff is.
Yeah. Yep. True. Yeah.
Wait, it is. I mean, any restaurant is an animal of its own.
Yeah. However, in a buffet, yes, I would say yes, but not at your restaurant. No. Your restaurant has, I mean, the salad is, it's the thing. That's like.
And it's so simple.
That's the thing that's so weird is it's so simple and yet so delicious.
Do you have any other favorite restaurants in town that you like to go to?
Oh, I do. I mean, there's several of them. Peter Chews. In fact, I helped bring Peter Chews to Reading.
Airport or
yeah, over, airport
or Pine Street.
That was dealing with the city, which was a real joy.
They are very good at the airport.
They does a great job. There, you know, and I don't rate restaurants. In fact, I get very aggravated at restaurant reviews. First of all, if you have a problem, tell the restaurant.
Yeah,
we got a bigger stake in this than you do.
Yeah,
so tell us if there's a problem. Don't just write it up. Because
but
you
still
like
be civil.
This. Yeah.
You don't have to be a you-know-what.
Now, if you talk to the owner, manager, whatever, and you're still unhappy, it doesn't bother me.
Yeah.
But I just, you know.
Give you a chance.
Yep. And down in Los Angeles some years ago, I don't even know how, but they were a lot of restaurants were getting bad reviews. It was other restaurants writing the reviews.
Sure, yeah. The whole thing with Yelp and all that
I still think, you know, like you hit on before, I still think the best way to find a good restaurant is word of mouth. And that's one of the reasons why we love Jason and Garrett and Brandon from Reading Buzz, because it's word of mouth, right?
That's the basis of your advertisement. Right? You can advertise all you want. Like I said, we had, back in the days of traveling salesmen, they were our best representatives up and down the coast. We still get people that call. Are you still open? We haven't been there in a few years. You know, that type of thing.
But are you still open? We haven't been there since the 70s.
Yeah. But it was always interesting. I look at every restaurant as an individual because they're all just, they're all different.
That's right. Anything else besides Peter Chews? Any other places you like around town?
C.R. Gibbs.
That's another good one.
Nello's. Of course. I go back to Lulu's when it was a Sambo's, so I still like going to Lulu's.
Well, it's
it was Sambo's. And then what was the, what is your lobby?
This one used to be a Sambo's.
Was that a Sambo's too?
Yeah.
That's the one that I went to.
And it was the same size as that.
Yeah.
We used to go there and get pancakes.
Yeah. Well, I used to go there and love the story on the wall of Sambo running around the tree and turning into butter or whatever, the lion.
The funny part is they were Indian. East Indian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was true. They were East Indian. Yep.
But no, I mean, restaurants come and go, but I like the restaurants that have consistent. That's to me. Doc Clary made a comment one time years ago, if I had two horse droppings on a bed of straw and they were the same every time, I could sell it.
Yeah.
But that's the whole thing you're looking at in a restaurant.
Well, that's why In-N-Out is so...
Absolutely.
That's like simple menu, but they do
that
it.
That is an operation I admire.
Yeah, they got it down.
They never hire from the outside.
Yeah.
It's always internal.
If you're up in the league, you start on the fryer.
Yeah.
Oh. That's what you learn the ropes.
I knew the Snyder's quite well, and that was just impressive.
So this being 2023, do you sell Jack's merch, any T-shirts or hats right now?
You know, it's funny. We sell T-shirts. We've been selling them for years, hats.
Yep.
Richie's added a few other things, like the hoodies and things. But it's funny, on the T-shirts, it's almost a consistent percentage every year. And what really amazes me, how many times have you seen a Jack's T-shirt running around Reading?
I haven't.
Not a lot.
And we sell hundreds of them.
They're going out.
They're going out of town. I had a guy call from Australia some years ago. Her father was named Jack, and he loved Jacks when he was here. So she had me send him 20 T-shirts and 20 hats.
Oh. Wow. Well, look, we're coming towards the end of the show. We wanted this specifically to be like a positive show with all the weird stuff that's going on in the world. I think if you want to have a positive experience, and experience a Reading original, a Reading institution, and have some really good food, and get to meet some new friends, Jack's Grill on California Street. You may miss it because the building is still...
The only thing I miss about working at night are the customers.
Yeah.
I had three levels of customers. I had the nice customers come in, nice people, no problems. Then you had some that were just not nice. And then there were certain people, just to see them walk in the door brightened my day.
Oh, that's nice.
Because whatever you sell, and especially restaurants, it's personal.
That's right.
Yep.
I've actually just remembered an embarrassing thing. I actually was asked to leave Jack's once. I was asked to leave Jack's.
Oh.
Yeah, you know what? Me and my friends. We got a little songy.
Yeah.
You know what? We'll talk about that in a minute. Yeah. The show's over. Thank you very much, Northern
Thank
California.
Thank you. You're awesome.
Oh. Thank you, Don.
Thank you. Pleasure. I appreciate it. You guys do a great job in town.
Thank you.
Jack's Grill.